challenge you, if you've never taken the step of believer's baptism, you should. Because God has given us some symbols that tell us and speak about our future and speak about who we are.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Hollick, your host, with Pastor Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, we are in the second half of a message called A New Future Requires a New Identity. You're taking us through the life of Abraham in Genesis 17, and he gets a new name in this passage, and he also goes through this crazy, scary thing God tells him to be circumcised.
Yeah, we're not going to get into all the nitty-gritty mechanics of circumcision, but I think that circumcision is a powerful, not only in the Old Testament, New Testament, it's a powerful symbol. It's a symbol. And I think that's what we need to remember. Just like the marriage ring is a symbol, it's a reminder of something bigger. And circumcision for every male child was a symbol of you're part of a covenant that's bigger than you. And I believe that God uses symbols to shape our identity. For example, when I got married, my wife gave me a ring. Now, I lost the first one, I have to admit. She's not too happy about that. But this is, I think, number three that I have. But I wear it on my finger because when I look at this symbol, it reminds me that my identity has changed. I'm a married man in covenant with my wife. And so some of you, as believers, you still have an old identity. And what Jesus is trying to bring in your life is, no, that's who you were. It's not who you are now. And as you look at the cross of Jesus, it should remind you, I am a new creation.
And for us today, baptism is this incredible symbol of leaving your old life behind and becoming new with God and following after Him. And if you say, I'm a follower of Christ, but I have never taken that step as an adult on my own volition, then maybe this message is a moment for you to realize, you know what, I need to step into my new identity, and I need to go all the way, and baptism is a powerful symbol of that. Well, we're in Genesis chapter 17, and it's called A New Future Requires a New Identity. Let's get right into the Word.
Notice what it says as we continue on in verse 9. God is telling Abram, and God said to Abram, as for you, you must keep my covenant, and your descendants after you for generations. He's telling them that he's got a covenant and all the land is going to be his. In verse 8, the whole land of Cana, where you are now an alien, I will give you an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And he says to him in verse 9, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. And this is my covenant with you and your descendants, the covenant that you are to keep. A covenant's a promise. God is saying, hey, I've made a promise with you, and there's a sign that I'm going to give you, and it'll be a reminder for you and your descendants that I'm with you. And he says this, verse 10, latter part of verse 10, every male among you shall be circumcised. You say, what? That's the sign of the covenant. Now, have you ever read about circumcision in the New Testament and Old Testament and said, what is that all about? Please. Well, we're not going to go into a graphic, detailed explanation of circumcision, but just as a matter of fact, it's a small operation that was done on the male reproductive organ when they were babies. Now, circumcision was something that was practiced not in those days among other tribes, but God spoke to Abraham, who was not circumcised, and God spoke to Abraham and he said, I'm going to give you a symbol. And this symbol is going to remind you that I have a covenant with you and your son and your descendants and their descendants and their descendants and their descendants and everybody that comes after you that's a part of this covenant. I want you to have this same sign, and it's the sign of circumcision. In fact, it's on the male reproductive organ because it symbolizes that all your descendants will be a part of this. Now, I want you to notice that in the New Testament, Jesus also talks about circumcision. But Paul, referring to circumcision in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love." And some of you men are wiping your brow a little bit right now. The new symbol is baptism and communion. Aren't you glad we don't have a first steps class towards circumcision? That wouldn't be a very popular class, I don't think. But the first steps class that we have now is towards baptism. Why? Because baptism, in essence, is the same symbolism that circumcision was for the Jewish people. Do you remember David, King David, when he fought against Goliath, what he said to Goliath? He said, "Who are you? You are a uncircumcised Philistine." He said, "Well, why did he call him that?" I mean, he could have said, "You weakling, you're nobody." He says, "You're uncircumcised." Well, what he was saying is, hey, you're not a part of the covenant. I'm chosen. I have a relationship with God. I am in covenant relationship with God, and you're not. You're a pagan. I'm a follower of God, and it's symbolized through circumcision. In the New Testament, notice what it says. In the New Testament, Paul says, hey, circumcision now, it doesn't matter. Because look what it says in Colossians. If you have this, write it down, Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. It says, "And in him," it's talking about Christ, "and in him you were also circumcised." You say, "I was?" Yeah, you were. "With a circumcision not made," a circumcision made without hands. What do you mean a circumcision made without hands? Well, it's not a physical circumcision. This is a spiritual circumcision. It says, "In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in" what? "Baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." What Paul is saying is that now the sign of the covenant is not circumcision. So it doesn't matter if you're a male here today, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not circumcised to be a part of the covenant. What matters is, has your heart been circumcised? In other words, has God, through faith, believing in Jesus Christ, symbolized by baptism, have you gone there, and are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Because if you have, then you're a part of the covenant. Now, in Christianity, there's not a lot of ceremonies. But there's a few things that are physical acts that symbolize our spiritual destiny. Circumcision was one of those things. But it's the same thing like baptism. We had a baptism, last week or 2 weeks ago? And you saw someone go into the water and then come out of the water, right? Now, why did they go into the water? Because the water symbolizes the old self has been buried. They are washed. They are forgiven. And as they come out of the water, they're a new creation in Christ. They have been cleansed. It's talking about their future. When we eat the bread and drink of the cup, we are saying we partake of Christ, and he's a part of us, and we believe in what this says. We're talking about our future, and we're talking about our beliefs. God was speaking to Abraham, and he says, "I'm giving you a symbol. This is a new identity. You're going to be different than the people around you. I want you to know that there is a sign that you are different." Can I challenge you? If you've never taken the step of believer's baptism, you should. You don't participate in communion as a symbol of that fall. You should. Because God has given us some symbols that tell us and speak about our future and speak about who we are. Now, notice what he says. It goes on to say in verse 13 that whether they were born in the household or bought with money, they must be circumcised. "My covenant is in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who's not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." I love this. God said to Abraham, then he changes Sarah's name and says, "I will bless her, and she will be the mother of many nations. And look what it says in verse 17. Again, this is the second time. Man, Abraham couldn't stand on his feet. It says, Abraham fell face down. Second time. I love that. Falls, gets up, talks a little bit, falls again. Have you ever been like that kind of before God? God's doing a work, man. You could barely stand before the presence of God. He's doing so much in your life. He falls on his face and he laughs this time. It says, Abraham fell face down and he laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man who's 100 years old? Why is he laughing? I'm going to give you the third point. I want you to write this down. This is huge. When God is leading us into our new future, he will give us a new way that helps replace our self-engineered way or our self-engineered plan. You see, Abraham had a son already. He had a son that was in junior high. His name was Ishmael, 13 years old. And God just told him in verse 16 that he was going to bless him with a son that would be born through Sarah. You say, well, why did he laugh? Because Sarah was 90. Wouldn't you laugh? I mean, don't you remember a little while back, there was some lady, I think it was in England, and she was like in her late 50s, and they did this in vitro thing, and she was pregnant, and she was in her late 50s, and we were like, wow, late 50s. That's nothing. She was 90. 90-year-old pregnant. And Abraham laughs. He says, falls down, laughs. He said, God, I'm 100. She's 90. How's this going to happen? Listen, verse 18. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Who was Ishmael? Ishmael was the son that he had through Hagar when he contrived his own flesh plan. Here's what I want you to know. Oftentimes, we make up our own plans, and we make up these plans with a little lying, a little conniving, a little compromise, and then we make up a plan and say, hey, God, could you bless it? And we make up our own plans, and God says, I'm not going to bless an Ishmael plan. I want to bless an Isaac plan. An Isaac plan is my plan. It's a supernatural plan. How many of us are guilty of doing that when we know that God wants to get us somewhere, we start coming up with our own self-engineered plan of how we're going to get there, and it doesn't compare with God's plan. It's the 25-year-old girl that says, hey, by 28, I'm going to be married. I got a plan. Oh, yeah? Yeah, I got a plan. I already have scouted out a couple guys, and I got it figured out. By 28, I mean, I'm married. I already have this one guy I've figured out. He's interested. He's kind of what I'm looking for. And you know what? I'm going to make sure that it happens. Was he a believer? Well, he's not. Well, you know, how do you define believer? Uh-oh.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called A New Future Requires a New Identity, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Our message is called A New Future Requires a New Identity.
We kind of believe, sort of believes, kind of believes in God. You know, he's not there yet, but guess what? I'm going to get him premarital counseling. I'm going to get him in a home group. I'm going to save him. Really? And right before we get married, I'm going to save him. Then we're going to get married and we're going to have a happy life together. That's your Ishmael plan. And God says, well, how about an Isaac plan? How about doing it my way and not doing it in the power of the flesh? But following my plan. You see, sometimes God's plan seems laughable. We look at God's plan, we go, God, you're not serious, are you? In fact, you know that Abraham laughed, and you know that later on, Sarah laughed, and then God said, you know what, I'm going to name your son, I'm going to name your son Isaac. You know why? Because Isaac means laughter. So every time in the morning, you say, come here, little laughter. And at school, you're going to say, hey, laughter raised his hand. And people are going to ask, why is laughter? And you're going to have to explain that it was so crazy that you laughed at God's plan, but yet God had a plan, and you're going to have to explain the miracle. Every time you call his name, laughter, you're going to have to explain the miracle of what God did. I love that. Because God has a miracle and he has a plan. And some of you are right here and you're hanging on tight to an Ishmael plan. And you're saying, God, I don't want to give up this Ishmael plan. And God's saying, I have an Isaac plan. Would you trust me? Because I have a purpose and I have a plan. And he said, God said it, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. And I'll establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant. And yeah, I'm going to bless Ishmael and I'm going to make him a mighty nation. But my covenant will not be with Ishmael. My covenant's going to be with Isaac. Verse 23, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and took all those born in his household. We see a couple chapters later, there are 318 men. And take all these men, a couple hundred of them, and Abram circumcised all of them. That wasn't a happy day, I'm sure, for most of those men. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. His son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day. Every male in Abraham's household, including those born in the household bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. I want you to hear me well because this is huge. I want to wrap it up with this. I believe that God has a purpose and a destiny and a future for every person that's hearing my voice today. But I believe that some of you are stuck. Maybe some of you have been stuck for a long time and can't go forward. You know why? Because when you look at yourself in the mirror, what you see is failure. Black sheep. Inconsistent, dirty, dumb, unclean. God speaks a future to you, and you say, I can't go into that future because look who I am. And God's saying, no, that's who you were. But now I'm calling you son, daughter. I'm calling you a new name. I'm calling you faithful. You say, but I've been so unfaithful. That's all right. I have a future and a destiny for you. And it's different than what your past has been. I'm seeking to give you a new identification because in order to walk into the future I have for you, you have to take on a new identity. Some of you have been stuck in the old identity and you don't know why you can't get forward because God wants to change your identity. In your bulletins, you have a little name tag. Do you see it? You say, well, why do I have it there? Let me explain. I'm going to give you a list of names. And I want you to take a pen this morning because in a moment, you're going to write out what your identity is. And if one of these names grabs you, it's a future. It's a name that God is calling you to be, not who you are, but who you are becoming. Maybe you're blesser. Maybe you're encourager. Maybe God has called you to be giver or merciful or peacemaker or bold or courageous or strong or faithful or maybe pure or maybe holy, righteous, gracious, loving, compassionate, generous, committed, stable, peaceful, victorious. I want you to take that name tag, and if one of these grabs you, if you say, Pastor, that's what I really want to be, that's who I'm really called to be, I want you to write it down. Come on. Write it down. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stick it on your chest. Because that's going to be your identification card. That's going to be your name. Can I tell you a quick little story while you're filling that out? I remember when I was 21 years old, God opened up the door to begin to minister at this little church on the southwest side of Chicago. And I was just helping there for the summer. And I tell you what, I could never see myself being a pastor. Never had a dream or desire to be a pastor. But the door started open up, and I'll never forget my wife, who was my fiance at the time, said, I think you're going to be the pastor. And I laughed and said, oh no, not me. I'm not the pastor kind. I just don't fit that. And she said, no, you're going to be a pastor. And as God was calling me towards that, she joked around and said, Pastor Mark. I said, Pastor Mark, are you serious? Because I never saw myself that way. But you know what? God was preparing me for my future. I have a calling on your life. I know you can't see yourself that way. I know that's not who you think you are, but I'm going to make you into someone that can minister that way. When I got married, I could never see myself as a father. That people, when I first got married, they had little babies, and they'd say, hey, you want to hold it? I said, no, I think I'll drop it or break it or something. I know, how do you hold a baby, like by the back of the neck or a leg? I mean, I'm going to break it. I don't know how to handle babies. But then my wife got pregnant after 6 years, and when she was pregnant, I didn't even see myself as a father until she would say, put your hand on my belly. I put my hand in. Do you feel the baby move? And I started saying, hey, Josiah, how you doing? Ended up that Josiah was a Marissa, but I was calling him Josiah. And my wife would joke around and say, you're going to be a daddy. And people would joke and say, hey, Daddy Mark. And I was like, no, I'm not sure that. But God was preparing me. And I heard that, yeah, dad, yeah, father. And I prayed, God, I want to be a good father like my father was a father. And by the time that baby was born, I could see myself as a father. And when I first held the baby, I thought I was going to break it. Didn't know how to really hold the little baby. But by the time I held it for the first time, I knew, hey, I can do this. I'm going to be a dad. And you know what? I'm going to be a good dad. And I'm going to raise this child in the ways of God. Why? Because I see myself now that way. And you see, I believe that God wants to do that to many of you. In fact, can I say there's some of you here that you came to this place and you can't see yourself as a Christian. You say, well, you know, I can't see myself as you guys. I mean, like, you know, pastor says, turn to Galatians, and everybody goes right there, and I'm like, and when you're worshiping, people are raising their hand, and I'm kind of like this, real stiff and looking at the words. People look like they love God so much, and you see, you don't know where I've been, and you don't know how long I've been there. You don't know what's come out of my mouth. You don't know the dirty things I've been involved in. You don't know how far from God I've been. I mean, I just can't be one of you guys. But maybe, just maybe today, God is saying, I'm going to change your identity. So you're going to cross the line, and one day, you're going to be worshiping like that. And you're going to be clean. And you're going to be walking and seeing yourself in a new way as a follower of Jesus. And it's not going to be those people, it's going to be us. Because you're going to see yourself with a new identity. Amen? All right, here's what I want to do. I want everybody to stand together with me. As the music team, worship team makes their way forward, I want you to paste that identity on your chest. Come on, that name tag. Hope you wrote something down. Put it on. Come on, name tags. I want you to turn to someone in front of you, behind you, beside you. I want you to tell them this morning, hi, my name is. And I want you to give them your new name. Encourager, blesser, victorious, faithful, man of God, woman of God, loving. Who are you? I want you to see yourself as a child of God, as a worshiper, as someone that loves the word, as someone that's a follower of mine and cleansed,